Guys, what is up? It's Tuesday night, and it's time for episode 39 of Inside the Game, April 24th, 2012. As you can see, In Control is not here. He is still in Sweden, like, doing the DreamHack thing, wrapping up, you know, and traveling. I got stuck yesterday in an airport for pretty much an entire day. I know you guys can relate with me, Craig. I know you do, especially in a lot of travel. It is the worst shit ever.
Yeah, it's not fun.
The worst. The worst.
Sleep
worst,
on the benches
worst.
With little arms in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, for me, it's like sleeping on two benches.
So I actually go, in every time I travel, I go ready to be able to play in the airport as well. So yesterday, I'm in LaGuardia for a whole day, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to ladder a few games, right? So I hop in, you know, I've got a 4G card, so it's internet's okay, and I get into a first game. Well, what I don't realize is that the AC, like the power that I'm actually plugged into, doesn't work. So my laptop's running off a battery, and I don't know, like, it's one of those laptops where it's like, if it's running off a battery, it basically turns everything off, and I've never seen StarCraft at like 3 FPS, but that's what it was doing. So I literally ran to like four other desks while I'm sitting there trying to make my initial drones like plugging into shit, and eventually my internet died, and I was like, fuck it. And that was the end of that. It was not fun. So yesterday I wasted a whole day. Jeff's not here. I didn't really have time for us to you know, format some stuff for the show. So we're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to go inside the game on Inside the Game, and we're going to play some games and some customs while we take phone calls. That's going to be
multitasking action.
That is going to be the shtick of this show. So first off, guys, what's up?
Hello.
Pain user?
Just in the middle of watching the new Game of Thrones episode. Rudely interrupted.
I've not watched that yet either. I'm looking forward to that.
Have you started season 2 yet?
Four or five?
They're on four.
Okay.
Four, yeah.
Yeah, I've started. I've watched the three. Some good stuff already. Like the show. I've never read the books.
There's some freaky stuff in four. You're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah? I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay.
It's basically
with that.
Just like...
like Gay Van Nuys.
Spoiler alert, but it's basically just like Joffrey just acting out his sexual fantasies, whatever you can imagine Joffrey's sexual fantasies would be.
I don't remember that part from the book, actually. Uh-huh. I think they just put that in.
Really?
Okay.
That's not surprising.
I think I avoided everything. I just took my headphones off, so that works. All right. So I'm just going to randomly answer calls while we're going in. So do we just want to like maybe fire into a game first and just take?
I think for starters,
what do you
want
to
do? Starters, guys, we're going to be getting a lot of snipers here, no doubt about it. So you guys should help us come up with like cool, crazy, wonky build orders that like
then only the snipers know them. That's the one problem with that.
Oh, who cares?
It's like 3v3s and stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's
who
true.
Who cares? Wait, it's like, wait, dude, but...
no, we gotta fucking win this.
It's gonna be snipers.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, let's go in. Now, how do you guys... let's see. Let me make sure I'm... How do you call in, guys? Let me put up the call in here. This will be really interesting. You could Skype us at DJ Weed or telephone 909-581-8519. And we're going in. And
I think we all got a drink before the show started. We were like, you know, we're going to be playing 3v3s and whatnot.
That's right.
Get 12 in. Is so, in there like, King of 10 rules apply all night.
I'm going to, well, Cockslayer's in this one, you guys. So we're already off to a great, great, great start. And look at Idra playing random.
Fucking the random.
Yeah. So Skype us, DJ Weed, or telephone 909-581-8519. We're literally going to be dropping like this. And just look, we already have the first call. We have unknown phone number. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. Hello. He's watching Game of Thrones in the background, I think. All right.
Game of Drones.
Yes, that one's done then. We're just going to take the next one. We've got area code 408. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. Hello, what's up? Me? Yes, we can hear you.
Oh my God. Okay. So,
Oh, wait. Is that Bay Area?
Yeah. Sorry.
Awesome. It's Bay Area.
Yeah, it's local.
Let me ask, for each of you, how would you play StarCraft Food War?
How would...
And who would you be... Like, if you had to play a 2v2 on StarCraft Food War, who would you play with?
Flash. Or fantasy.
I don't know.
Sorry, did you...
What? Pain user said Flash.
I said Flash or fantasy?
Flash? Why the obvious like choice? Why not someone you know? Because I know Idra had a lot of friends in Brood War, right?
Well, that was Pain user who said Flash.
Oh,
I said Stork. Yeah, you can always play with the people you're friends with and stuff. Like, it's cool to play with Stork or Flash or fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to give me like a hypothetical 2v2 partner, Flash or fantasy, but I mean, if I could play with like anyone, it'd probably just be a friend.
I don't know, honestly. I would have to say like the boxer of really old.
Yeah, that
would
actually
be like the I don't mean like boxer now. I mean like boxer. Yeah. God, I don't have freaking
the EMP to Nexus nuke. That would be so fun in 2v2s.
Yeah, so friends over like kill. I got that. Cool.
Yeah. What about you? What about you, man?
I would probably take Baby, because like I followed his story when I was like a lot younger, and he was like awesome, like a middle schooler just like.
Did you say Baby?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he's super good.
Oh. How old is he now? He's like 16.
He's really young too.
Yeah.
Word. All right, man. Thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, peace. All right.
Oh, look at that multitasking week.
Get that one. We're gonna take Joseph's call. Joseph, hello. Hey, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up, man?
Hey, I had a question specifically for you. You're familiar with like HLTV from Counter-Strike, right?
Yes, of course.
How you would just connect through the game to spectate. Do you feel that StarCraft 2 could benefit from something like that, or would it hurt the streams too much?
No, I think it would hurt the stream too much. Okay, pain user. I think I think like Dota 2 is going to do it, right? I don't know if you knew about that, but Dota 2 is going to do it, and I don't know. I don't know. Like, would I rather watch a stream? I don't know. I'm a bit conflicted.
Watch a stream, man, because then you're supporting the player.
Yeah,
as well.
but what about the concept of what if you are like watching like a stream through the client pain user, and you could like click on every unit and look at what their upgrades were without a caster
cool.
having to tell
I
you.
I think
how
as
to
long
do
as like, as long as they like found a way to integrate it so that the players also got like a decent TPM. If it was Steam regulated, I wonder if they'd actually like pay players.
Yeah, I think so.
At least with JTV, you have like a pretty straightforward setup. You know exactly what you're getting if you're partnered. It's awesome.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Like, if it would be something that would, you know what they're talking about, Greg?
No, I don't.
Like, what if you could connect to like your like StarCraft, and you could watch a bunch of games that were in progress.
Oh, they actually had a program like that in Brood War, but it just like didn't work technically. They tried it. That'd be really cool for the viewers and stuff. But like Pain User was saying, it would take a lot away from like streaming is one of the biggest sources of income for players right now. Most players, you don't actually make that much from tournaments. You just get your name out there, and then you make the money off the viewers you gain from that while you're streaming.
Yeah.
So, if you were to actually take that away, that would be really bad for players.
What if it could be integrated, though? Because my big problem is, like, if an observer is not good, or if you're trying to study something specifically, like somebody's build order, sometimes it's hard to do that over a stream, right? So if you could somehow integrate it, maybe?
From tournaments, I can see, but I think from streaming, you get a pretty good, like, it's pretty easy to read a build order off of that, because you're seeing it from their first person anyway.
Right. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you. All right, how are we doing here?
What's the plan? Reapers out.
What, you got a bunch of Reapers out? I saw that the Protoss had some.
He had two stalkers.
I was wondering if maybe I should go Baneling. But
you guys want to hit that Zerg's Expo and just like keep harassing it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll come meet you.
Oh wait,
there.
He got a lot of fucking. Oh, did he get that thing? Okay.
Just for the win.
What do you want to do? Are you ready? Oh, we gotta take another call, man. Oops. Shit. I fucking canceled the fucking creep tumor when I meant to.
All right, roll in with those Hellions. I'm gonna come with you.
Okay, the Terran's lined up over here. So.
All right, I gotta take another Skype call. This is against the rules right here. Okay. Aziz, hello. Okay. Oh, your shit's coming through.
How the fuck is with this fucking Ziz Cumper?
Holy shit, dude.
I don't even know what he was saying. Was that like a recording?
I don't either, dude.
All right, here we go.
Hello, guys.
Hello. Hello.
My question is, I found out recently that Tiloor decided not to shave his beard and until he will get some decent results. Don't you think that other pro gamers should make some kind of a flash mob and to support his initiative? Maybe in Control, we'll do something like that.
I don't know if
like
any other gamers can rock the Castaway beard like he can.
Yeah, this
He's
is
just
true.
On a whole nother level.
This is true. It is pretty damn good.
Yes, what the society community of pro gamers will look like if all of them will not shave their beards?
I think there actually could be quite a few people that would have very handsome beards, to be honest with you. But
oh god, I just got dropped.
What? Are you okay?
I'm in a room.
Well, that was my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
As Pain Wait, so he's saying, like, away, what does he think would happen in a world where all gamers, like, rocked their own custom look? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know if he was, like, focusing on the idea of, like, using that as encouragement to win more, like, the way TL is doing it, or if he's just talking about the fashion side of things.
Yeah, I think he's saying, like, it could make them more popular or something. I don't know.
No. Not like, about popularity, but some kind of a mascot, something that will bring you
luck. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there have been people doing that forever. Like, a lot of kids take like weird stuffed animals to tournaments. I know Stefano has Cujo. Fatality, an old FPS player, used to always have his little lion or whatever it was. I think. Right,
yes, so yes. Yeah. Smoo. His name
Smoo,
is Smoo.
Yeah, because he's smooth.
Yes,
that's what he told me when I asked him.
Well, guys, I just remembered I wanted to ask you a question a long time ago. As you know, lots of pro gamers have fan clubs in Team Liquid. And as for Idra, there is a photo in his fan club. There are guys like In Control, Artosis, Idra, and some other dudes. And all of them except Idra are wearing T-shirts. With the face of an Idra and sign Eye of the Tiger. How did that joke was born? Can you tell? Maybe there is some funny story behind.
I don't actually. You got Marines.
I can answer it.
Okay.
I did a dumbass interview with Daniel Lee back when I was.
Don't fight the power.
He said I needed the Eye of the Tiger or something. And then for WCG, everyone did that as a joke.
Thanks a lot. Good luck.
All right, thank you. I have no idea what you were talking about, actually, Idra. You got dropped, Idra.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking dickhead Marines. Get those sons of bitches. I should have gotten Burrow a while ago. Okay. They had, like, you got that? Okay, I'm going to go fucking Muta here.
I got rocked by that drop.
You did? Really bad?
I mean, I'm still alive. My natural's still up. I'm rebuilding my main right now.
Oh, shit.
You guys are going to have to hold on for a little bit.
Oh, fuck. We require more Vespingas. Is that just like the Protoss? Oh, shit. No, I got to use these on the Protoss. Because if they're gone... Yeah, okay. And I got to...
These roaches are owning me. Greg holding it down with the Terran.
Yeah, dude. Old school. All right, next caller. Nick, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, snap. I actually got on.
Snap.
Okay.
You got to drop in your base, pain user.
Oh, dang it.
I just have a quick question. Did you guys happen to catch the GD Studios recap of DreamHack the other day?
I did
not.
No,
I was trying to watch that, but...
I didn't. I heard it was hilarious, though.
I heard it was hilarious.
Oh, my God. I was laughing my ass off. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a while. So what would you, okay, if you guys were in a similar situation where you could call and set up a date with a girl, would you have done the same thing?
Wait, so you got to explain this. First. Yeah.
Because I don't think any of us caught it.
Okay, so basically what happened is one of the hosts of the GED studio had gotten a girl's number, and he didn't call her back, and they were trying to pressure him into calling her on stream, and there was like 8,000 people watching. So they gave in control of the phone, and he started to call her and, you know, talk to her, being very polite because he's in control. And so then I actually don't remember the guy's name. I don't remember his
Semler,
name.
Semler or something.
That's it. So then he picked up the phone, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's VODs
of
it.
You could spoil it. I don't think any of us are going to be super disappointed if you unleash this.
Okay, he basically was like, he was just like spitting out profanity and just like saying, oh, there's a bunch of assholes around me, and like the girl couldn't tell if he was talking to her or the people around him. And then he ended the call by saying, you're a sack of shit, but he was talking to the people at the GD studio, not her. But it sounded like he was saying it to her.
Gotcha. So I don't understand, like, were people like really upset about the comments that were made? Is that what I understand? Or
yeah, like, what's the question?
Yeah.
Oh no, I was just wondering if you guys caught it and if you guys would ever consider doing something like that on stream, just as like a practical joke type of thing.
You mean,
or
like,
did you think about it?
Call up a I don't know. Like, I'm gonna
probably kind of shitty to the girl to expose her to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes
as long
I feel
as
like,
wasn't like, it seems like she probably wasn't too happy about that, to be honest. Probably didn't make her day. I'd play a joke, but I'd try and spin it in a way that like wasn't like mean.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's all I had to say. So thanks for answering.
Thanks, man. Oh yeah, let me get those SCVs. Where are you going, SCVs? Let's take another caller. I'm not quite sure. I didn't really see that thing, so.
Oh God, that's a lot of Colossus.
Oh, we got it. We got it. I got the Mutas coming in. What the hell? There we go. Oh, what the hell? Those got totally shredded, man.
Coxslayer, GG.
All right, taking another call. Alex, Leo. Hello, Leo. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Wow, holy shit, I got in.
You did.
my question was regarding internet. First of all, like, I'm a big fan, and like, I love what you guys are doing. It's awesome. Wait, let me mute the stream because the delayed thing is screwing me up.
Please mute it.
So yeah, I was wondering what's your take in regards to internet communities, like, you know, how it's like split up in regards to, there's Reddit, you know, there's Team Liquid, you know, there's all the other subreddits, like including like Battle.net, and okay, Battle.net isn't subreddit, but you know what I mean. And like
different
atmosphere,
forums and stuff.
Yeah. Like the different communities and the different like reactions that you do. Do you think that the internet communities have a negative lobbying effect on the game and on the community itself?
I think some have a tendency to be more lobbyist, if you will, about certain issues. Like Reddit, StarCraft for sure can bring out the pitchforks from time to time and go on witch hunts. But I don't think that like they have a propensity to be negative. Or like a
well,
bad.
The internet's the internet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really
the internet
is
designed just, for that. Like, a lot of people use it for that.
It's just, it's kind of the nature of things. I don't know if there's any way that you can, you know, it's not to say that every single site is like that. I just think that some people fall into the whole, it's okay to rip people apart. You know, it's the fun thing to do and this and that. And that has an effect overall.
I think pretty much every site dedicated to StarCraft that I've seen, like all the big ones, have a propensity towards that.
Yeah.
I think pretty much anywhere on the internet you'll find that. It's just what happens when people have anonymity.
Because, I think the appeal of StarCraft, like what got me into StarCraft, like as soon as it came out, I think I bought it after I watched like my first Husky video because I thought, okay, wow, this has such a strong community. But as I've been playing consistently for the, you know, since pretty much the release, I don't know, I get a little bit turned off when I go on Reddit for whatever reason, and I read something about a new tournament and just like somebody said something and they like bring out the, as paying user said, bring out the pitchforks, and it's just disgusting. But it's because it's so destructive, in my opinion. Like, yeah, actually, it doesn't help build what everybody is trying to build. It doesn't project the positive image, in my opinion.
I totally agree, but, like, what can you do about it? At the end of the day, it just seems like there's so many trolls, and it's in a lot of gaming communities. It's not just StarCraft. Like, every competitive game I've ever played, it's just... It's, like, a high competition environment, and everybody's, like, you know, gunning for the top, so there's just a lot of, like, hostility. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
I've heard from people who I don't really follow it, so I don't know, but I've heard from a lot of people that, like, the LoL community and other big esports, they're a lot more positive.
Whoa, dog.
Yeah, like, I've heard that about LoL as well.
LoL
actually,
positive? Really?
Yeah, I heard that they have a tournament or they have any kind of public event or whatever, everyone's just like how awesome it is and how supportive they
are.
Well,
that's true. I've never seen like a really big league event like that. So I can understand that.
The thing that bothers me about the destructive aspect, what I meant, was in terms of like esports sponsorships. Like, I hate to bring it up and like including because you know Idris and Call and stuff like that. But like the EG guys, like what happened with Orb and stuff like that. How everybody just you know completely lost their shit.
Oh yeah, that was the stupidest thing in the world. Orb
and how
is a very
sponsors
talented
got
caster.
Involved and this and that
I
because sponsors
him,
like,
I think
they go on these
and for him to lose his job. Like, these guys that did this to Orb don't realize that they cost him his job,
dude. That's exactly
that was, like,
what I'm saying.
Start
like,
of his career,
it's
and they
not,
ended
it's
it.
It's not
for
like
him,
he's
like.
Some kid, you know, on the internet. You know, he's actually trying to pursue a career within gaming. He's trying to follow his dream.
Something he's
and something so retarded
yeah.
as this ruins somebody's livelihood. You know, I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but at the same, at the same time, there is something to be said about the fact that. This does mean that, like, this
it's
is the dawn
serious.
Of a new era, right? Like,
yeah,
you now suddenly have to watch yourself, and as fucked up as it may seem, guys, it's like, it's actually more like shit.
Dude, I have a prime example of something like that. Like, my first MLG, when I was partying with you and Scoots, and I did that interview, like, when I was drunk, like... That was just me being largely inexperienced to the scene. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, you're a crazy party animal, like, oh my god. And then it's like, you have to watch what you do. You have to be careful.
Exactly.
Like, that was a eye-opening experience for me, because I was just like, oh man. Not only are people pretty judgmental, like, you just need to be careful.
Yeah, it's
for sure.
True,
yeah. I mean, if esport does want to be in the limelight and be treated as a real spectator sport and not just something that kids do in their spare time and mom yells, you know, hey, you know, get off the computer, you're wasting your time, then I guess perhaps in a sort of indirect fashion, this whole pitchforking thing brings out, you know, that people do need to be professional all of the time and always need to have their, like, kind of, like, community representative hat on,
yeah.
I guess. All right. Guys, thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of all of you on call.
Thank you.
You're all really awesome.
Thank you.
I'm
yeah,
a big, big fan of Idra. All of you guys are just ridiculous. I'm going to go, and I guess, I don't know, post on 4chan and get shitloads of karma or some shit. I don't know.
Good job, man. Good job. Keep it up.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, man.
Good night.
Peace. Have a good
day. Another thing about that whole Orb incident was, like, he fucked up, and he probably did deserve punishment there, but the community just instantly goes and starts talking to our sponsors.
Yeah, like they went to the
you
sponsors.
You should talk to EG if you have a problem with one of EG's players. If you go to the sponsors,
absolutely.
Think that, well, this community.
Like, yeah, going to the sponsors is just like going above and beyond the Call of Duty. Like, you're a real Boy Scout if you're going to go start emailing the sponsors and, like, try to get somebody fired. It's like, first of all, who even has the time to do that? Like,
I don't know. Fucking,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
have the time
ridiculous.
To do that. These people definitely have the time.
Yeah. And that just really sucked for Orb, because I really like his passing.
It did suck for Orb.
Yep.
By the way, what are you guys doing?
I'm just going to go quick extracts.
You're four-gating, you said?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. That'll be perfect.
Okay. And who are you going to go after?
Purple. The Terran over on the left.
Okay. I'll go...
I'm going to go Speed Reaper, Hellion. with a quick medevac and just support Craig's Foregate.
Okay, I'll come down with some Lings and some Banes.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh.
Alright, we gonna hit the guy on the left over here?
Yeah.
I'm in. What's he got?
Oh, they're going after your Overlord in mid. I got it.
Let's go. Let's go get these bitches.
I'm coming.
Oh, yeah. Let's get that tech lab. He's getting blue flame.
Going up with my Reapers. I'll get those Marines. Alright, you guys are good. Hey, he's pulling all his SCVs.
Oh, but we got in, son!
Here. Team games are so funny. It's just like all about that early rush.
Oh yeah, you gotta love it, though. Oh shit.
Ooh, roaches.
That's okay.
I'm gonna get some marauders.
Where are you going with those roaches? You think you're all out of... Oh, we got some Marines and some tanks from the back. Here, go up, get those guys. Okay, I'll get the tank. Ah, the roaches! Oh, I think that guy's dead, though. That's okay. I got one more set coming in. Hold on.
Ooh.
Like, does that guy have anything left? Should we just finish him off for sure?
No, we got all his SCVs.
Oh, he just dropped. Yeah. Oh. Is he going to attack?
Here, fall back a little bit. Let's regroup, like, at Greg's natural. Once he gets that expo.
Those guys are almost dead.
Alright, I'm gonna go push that guy in the middle.
You taking that gold?
Yep. Okay. Unless you want to grab it.
No. Take it. I can take the other one.
It's my gold!
Awesome.
Oh, we you losing your call, micro?
Oh shit! Yeah, oh my god! Thank you. Thank you. Gun. I feel so terrible now.
Oh my god, dude!
Adam, hello, welcome. I'm sorry. I should have taken your call like 5 minutes ago. But hello, Adam.
Every one of us has a little bit of snibs in us. You just don't know it yet. If you're sitting there going, "Who the fuck is this fucking faggot?" Well, you're probably right. But fuck, I'm butt-raged, bruh. Yeah, cunt. Cause at the end of the day, bro, you gotta listen to this. If you're a fucking whiny made cunt, you get away with anything, bro.
I can only listen to fucking Stephen Hawking. Yeah, those roaches are coming up over here, by the way.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah. I bet that guy was just fucking laughing uncontrollably, however, while it was playing. So
yeah,
he believed he was hilarious.
It was. So we got another Adam on the line. Hello, Adam. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Wow. Fantastic, baby. Dance.
At least play some good music. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
All right, we got Ofer on the line. Hello, Ofer. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. Thanks for accepting me.
Hey, thanks for not being a jackass.
I'm trying my best, but it's still awesome. A long call, so we should hope on to that hope.
All right.
Just as a general question for all three of you, actually.
Dropping the gold. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
With the DreamHack and MLG's events, with the wonderful job that Grubby and InControl did, I was wondering what you guys think that pro gamers can do otherwise, if anything at all, if you're even, maybe you're against it, but What else can pro gamers do to gain more screen time, get more interaction with the viewers? Because, in my personal opinion, Grubby and Uncontrolled doubled their fan base after those events. I mean, maybe not that drastic, but it had a very good impact on them.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, they're huge events, and they were hired as public figures for those events. So, I mean, it's no surprise. They're both really well-versed. They can speak in public well. They're charismatic guys.
Oh,
they're both
funny. Going up with the roaches.
So that's what they were hired for by DreamHack, and it's a gigantic event, so it's definitely going to boost anyone's popularity.
And he's got Burrow.
I think they both handled it really well, though. I totally agree. I really liked both of their work at both events. So,
obviously, you're all pro this. And is there any way that this can evolve, or are we stuck with the whole caster / couch caster thing, and there's no way for it to evolve beyond this?
No.
I don't think anyone has figured out esports at all. Like, I don't think esports is a model that's really been explored before, so you can't apply standard business models to esports. And I think a lot of companies are kind of playing around with new ideas right now, and they're having some success. So I think we'll continue to see MLG, DreamHack, IPL alter the formats of their tournaments and figure out what works and what doesn't. And then I think it'll keep changing for sure. I don't think it's going to be like conventional sports in any way.
Yeah, all the tournaments are still trying to one-up each other at this point, so they try and introduce new ideas at every event, like DreamHack with their couch at Winter last year.
which, by the way, was like a quarter of Jeff's size. That was like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Jeff was like, come on, you Swedes. How are you going to give me a couch that's like a third of my size?
Oh, he put up the depot after the Glings got in. No. All right, I'm going to hide a few.
Your wings are locked away forever.
Yeah, they are, but they're going to be banelings soon. He thinks he's cleaned it up, but I guess you guys are going to come in. Should just leave him alone so I can get the power of the fucking banelings on their line. So, you know,
I'm wondering about, because of what you just said, that everyone's just trying to figure it out. As a spectator of esports, I'm getting worried that it's going to come up to a point where, from them trying to one-up each other all the time, it's going to be like 5-6 pro gamers doing like the voice thing and analyzing everything, and it's just going to be too much, and it's going to be absurd.
If it's absurd, then it won't be worth the investment, and they'll scale it back.
Yeah.
Like, these are smart companies that are trying to be profitable. You're not going to get... If stuff doesn't work, they're either going to stop doing it or they're going to go out of business. Because they
and
had to
another
pay
thing
was there.
To be said is, like, not every pro is necessarily good at conveying their thoughts to other people.
Yeah.
Like, they may really understand what's going on from their perspective, but it's very difficult for them to teach other people and for them to explain to other people. So, I mean, yeah,
that's
I don't think...
That's a great point, Pain User.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's like not every single caster, not every single personality out there, I think, can safely, can necessarily represent or maybe would be trusted to represent a brand, like DreamHack or anything else for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when Destiny joined Complexity, then that just didn't work out because he wasn't willing to tone himself back enough to actually be a public figure like they wanted from him.
Right.
So, like, not everyone is set for every role.
Right.
Okay, so on that note, I'll just say that maybe 6 months ago it wasn't actually the smartest thing from DreamHack to do to take in control for that. I mean, regarding the image that he had, but... Despite the fact that he's not here, I'll just take the stage to say, Jeff, you did an amazing job. And thanks, guys, for your answers. Good luck with your games.
Right on.
Thanks.
Right on. Okay. I'm sorry. Hey, Pain User, thank you, by the way, for
I got you.
Reminding me. Thank you. Take the next call and just bring it in. Oh, we've got my Kings of Tin co-host, Wack Steven, on the line. Hello, Wack. What's up?
You fucking asshole.
What?
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
What are you talking about?
You're stealing the show idea, man. You're bringing on bigger stars. You're just going to fucking take the show away. That's what's happening right now.
Hey, on Kings of Tin, on Kings of Tin, we don't answer phone calls. So that's the difference.
So this is like Kings of Tin with another feature.
Dude, yeah. don't fucking like start adding features now. Like you can, I can micro now. I'm gonna go ahead and fucking manage calls and play because I got fucking Pain User and Idra to back me up. That's
pretty
a bunch
much
of bullshit,
that,
man.
That is. Do you have a question, Wax Steven?
I don't have a fucking.
Oh, he's treating you like a caller.
I was calling up just a fucking bitch. God damn it! I'm pissed.
Oh, okay.
I'm pissed. No, I have no question. I just wanted to call in a bitch.
Word.
I wish you all the losses possible. Dirty sons of bitches.
Thanks, man.
Kings of Ten! Kings of Ten! Kings of Ten!
We did kind of steal it away, but let's take our next call. We got Matthew on the line. Hello, Matthew. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi, guys. Oh, wow, there's no screener.
There's no screener. We are the screeners. We will approve you in the next 20 to 30 seconds.
Wow. Thank you, Marcus. My question is for Jeff and Idril, even though Jeff isn't here. It's regarding engaging stalkers with mutas. Should we be focusing on forming a muta ball and engaging the stalker ball from the outskirts?
Mutas get much, much, much better when you have a giant mass of them. They're really, really inefficient in straight-up fights with small numbers. So, yeah, you don't want to be engaging straight-up army battles unless you know you're going to absolutely destroy them, like win really, really cost-efficiently until late on in the game. And even then, it's better. Like, Mutas' big advantage is their mobility. So
yep.
You don't want to be fighting straight on early.
Well, my question stems from your match with Cruncher, when at the very end you basically flew all your mutas over his stalkers, and you kind of knew that you were going to win that battle, but was the way you engaged that the proper way to do it?
Well, that was a situation where I had a much, much stronger army than his. I knew I would win that battle pretty handily, so I didn't want to risk an elimination race or anything silly happening. In most situations early game, you won't want to fight head-on with mutas like that, but just like there, I knew I would absolutely win. I have a stronger army, so I did.
All right, well, that sums it up. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, man. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, I'm gonna go scout, and let's take another call. Let's take AJ. Hello, AJ. Welcome to Inside the Game. What is up?
What is up, guys? Love the show. Fan of everybody. Hung out with Pain User at IPL4.
Was he a good guy? Or was he like kind of a dick like you'd expect superstar?
No, he was a cool guy.
He is a cool guy.
Like three
good
or
answer.
Four cigarettes.
Good answer.
Oh, dude. What's up?
How you doing, bro?
What, all of a sudden you know absolutely. Now who it is. Oh, right on.
You definitely bummed me a couple cigarettes. I appreciate it.
Right on.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to call in and tell you guys I appreciate everybody. You guys all do a great job. Idra, huge fan. Wish Jeff Thank was you. Here. I could, you know, say the same to him. And love listening to both you and Pain User Cast Suite.
Thank you.
And, figured I'd give you guys a shout-out. You guys deserve the love.
Well, thank you, sir.
Don't always need a question.
Yeah, you don't have a question?
No, who's not that? Really. Just kind of a fan.
All right.
Hanging out, enjoying the show.
I'll tell you what, man. The one positive call to the 10 negatives is always a good thing. So
that's true.
Props
that's
to that.
True. That's true. Oh, that asshole went and expanded.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, he did. That son of a bitch. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, man, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks again, yes. Yep. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So that guy was actually, like, super chill. Was like a fan that approached me at IPL4, but like in the non-creepiest way possible.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
We've got Prima Dog on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi, this is Prima Dog. Thanks for taking my call. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, like Thorzang finally won a major for StarCraft 2, and it's been a while. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and the last time that happened was Huck with Stefanos in October. So I'm wondering, like, when's the next time we are gonna see a foreigner win again?
I mean, I don't know.
Just picked DreamHack
already. I mean, yeah, like, you mean aside from Thorzane?
Yeah, Thorzane just picked DreamHack.
I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for the premier tournament, and yeah, their list is they have Stefano winning the ESWC back in October 2011, and that was the time before Sword Zane won recently. So that
was
like
that before or after IPL 3?
That's after IPL 3.
That was after.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're looking at like over 6 months since the before Sword Zane. So we're going to look at another 6 months before a foreigner wins again.
Well, I mean, you got to keep in mind, like, there is so much talent out there. Like, think of how many people play StarCraft as a game. You can apply that same kind of logic to, like, football or something. Like, the odds of making it in the NFL are slim to none. It's, like, less than a 1% chance. So when you have a skill pool that's that big and that many talented players, it's so hard to, like, dominate tournaments on a consistent basis. Like, it's almost impossible. I mean, I don't want to say impossible because players have done it in Brood War, and, like, obviously there's, like, Bonjour players that just go on a hot run and they're able to maintain it for quite some time, but it's so difficult when there's that many skilled players, I feel.
Another thing is, over the last few months, it was kind of the tournament off-season internationally, so there weren't actually that many big opportunities for foreigners to win. Like, it's never going to happen super frequently just because the Koreans have a better training system for the time being, but especially with the European events coming up, like all the DreamHacks and all the IEMs, you generally don't get as many good Koreans going to those, so it's like, I doubt it'll be another 6 months before a foreigner wins another major.
Uh-oh. Pain user, no.
I'm good.
Okay.
Back.
All right, thanks for the answer. I just want to ask Ezra to please win one for us soon, so it won't be another six-month drought.
I'll try. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like Blinkstalker on the other guy. Thank you for your call, man.
Pain all right, user, love you, DJ Wait.
Thank you, man. Pain user just died right there. You're still with me, right, Greg?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Pain user just totally lost it. We got David on the line. Hello, David. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
First off, love the show. But I just wanted to go back to when, was it Pain user saying, oh, the people go to the sponsors, and that's so terrible. I just want to remind you, and Marcus, you can probably remind them as well, that those are the same people that go to tell the sponsors of how great IPL is, and they're, you know, basically the reasons that everyone is doing, you know, well.
It's not the same people. Those are the vindictive dicks who are just trying to be dicks. Like, if you go to the sponsors and tell them that it's awesome, then you're trying to help esports. But if you're going to them and bitching about something like that, that's like a team responsibility.
Tell EG and they'll handle it.
Look, what happens when an anchor on ESPN makes an off-color remark? Guess what happens? His job. And meanwhile, you have, you know, people...
I'm not condoning what happens in the sports industry either. I don't think that that's okay either. There's people who have lost their jobs in the sports industry.
They broke the rocks, guys.
This isn't the sports industry. Like, this is an emerging industry, and these people, like, if they just want to say we're policing the industry, we're trying to hold you accountable, that's fine. But the people who say we're supporting esports, we're trying to make it more professional. No, you're costing us the money that's really, really hard to get at this point. We're still trying to build this. And you can't really afford to do that. You should go to EG and tell them, this guy is making you look bad. You should fix that. You don't go tell the sponsors to pull their money out of the industry so everything can collapse. And it won't matter if Orb says anything at all.
Look, I think the people who are actually saying that are very, very few. But there was the vast majority of people who are upset with Orb.
So what's the value of going to the sponsors?
They were offended. They're not all doing that. You know, and the sponsors are not going to listen to a handful of people. I'm just saying, there's a general perception here that...
Here's the thing, though. Hold on. First off, people voiced their concerns to Orb, and Orb's not, like... He's not a stupid guy. He's not unintelligent. So Orb was obviously trying to work on correcting his self-image. It's one thing if you tell a guy he made a mistake, and he's like, oh, no, I didn't. Like, you know, whatever, I said that a long time ago. It's not a big deal. I'm not like that anymore. Blah, 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 and he just totally disregards it and doesn't try and change. But it's not like Orb was receiving it poorly. You know what I'm saying? He was willing to work on himself and change.
It's not about Orb, because on that I do, in fact, actually agree with you. And, like, look, there are assholes. I'm not saying there aren't assholes out there. I'm just pointing out that when you you know, aspire to be this mainstream entertainment machine, then you have to accept what comes along with it. And you can't just naively say that, oh, you know, we can have our cake and eat it too, because you can't really, you know what I mean?
Not mainstream yet, though. We're saying we're trying to become mainstream. Right. And if the community wants to say that they're helping us do that, if the community wants that, then they can't.
And one thing that I really appreciate about this community is, like, the level of transparency. Everyone's, like, really raw. Like, you know a lot about the people in the community. I can't say that I know anything about a lot of the sportscasters, man. Like, our community's totally different. Like, we know each other on a much more personal level than I feel like a lot of professionals in other industries may. So, I mean, I don't know. That being said, it's just, like, we have so much more knowledge about one another that you have to be able to just... Yeah.
I'm not sure what point that...
We are not ESPN Sports.
But, I mean... Are you saying that you don't aspire to have mainstream esports go mainstream?
There's a difference between aspiring to be and already having.
Right. So
like, this is a very like closely knit community. We're all part of this together, and everyone's saying that they want it to be something bigger. And you achieve that by working together, not by going to the sponsors and crying. Once we're already big, then we'll have the fans who are completely disconnected from everything, and they can do that just because they want to feel
I agree with you, and I don't. You know, I don't think they should, but the fact is that they do it. When you reach a certain level...
Yeah, we're saying that's retarded. That's, like, that's if you actually want to help esports, you're not going to do that. You're going to talk to EG.
And a lot of those situations with, like, the big networks and stuff, and kind of similar to what happened with Orb, it doesn't really matter, like... Once the organization is big enough, like EG or like a big sportscasting network like ESPN, once it gets to the sponsors at that level, there is so much money involved that something has to be done. I mean, that's why Orb got fired, because EG is a big enough organization that they have to protect their image that fiercely. So, I mean, I agree with you that like it's inevitable once it gets to a certain level, but that doesn't, I mean, we don't have to like own it.
All right, let me just get off the confrontational tip and ask DJ Weed a question.
Okay.
What do you think, with all your experience, and, you know, I've been around for a little while too, and you see the cycles, you know, in one game blows up, whether it's Quake, whether it's Counter-Strike, whether it's Warcraft 3, and then it sort of, you know, peters out a little bit, and you wonder long-term viability of esports, and give me an answer without the, you know, the Blizzard PR, and I'll be happy.
Well, are you talking specifically about StarCraft 2, or are you talking about...
StarCraft 2 and in general.
He's talking about trends in gaming.
I mean, let's be real. Like, one of the biggest trends in gaming, right, is the fact that StarCraft 2 is huge. Like, I think we can safely call this a trend. There's Mutas out on the field, too. And some Marauders. Here comes the Mutas right now.
Coming to help you.
Nice.
And
so, you know, one of the things that was very nice, dude. I've got a bunch of Infestors out as well. So, you know, I think that has helped League of Legends get big, because it is, you know, it is obviously, grown quite a bit. And, oh, what's that? The Mutas are in your base. Oh, sweet Jesus.
The Protoss guy's dead. I've got Mutas all over my base.
Okay, where are they? No, I've got
them. Oh, you got them at the natural? Yeah. There's some in the main still.
Okay.
I got some Marines spawning. They might be able to take care of it, though.
I hear what you're saying, and
I think he's
the
asking
one thing
more like
StarCraft 2 that gives me hope is that, like...
Are you worried StarCraft might, like, fade like the predecessors?
I don't think StarCraft is going to fade. Oh, shit.
No, I don't.
I mean, not anytime soon. Yeah. Like, you got to also consider, you want to know another trend that we have that we didn't have before? The other trend that we had that we didn't have before was the whole concept of actually being able to watch streams. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's insane, man. We never had that ability to do that before.
That is true, yeah. TSN and all those guys
had
a heck of a job.
Yeah, think about how much that has changed things a lot, right?
True.
So that's definitely one thing to consider there. The other things we're also, I think the biggest trend that I hate about esports right now is the trend of, oh, is the trend of shitty FPSs, man. Like, they're really bad. I can't.
Yeah, the FPS like, games out right now are like, absolutely horrible.
It makes me angry that we don't have a good game like Quake. I'm more worried about games like that, about FPS games. I'm not worried about freaking StarCraft or League of Legends or any MOBA for that reason. Like petering out. I'm not at all. Yeah. And the reason why is because I think that they're too popular right now, and I think they're only going to get more popular.
Here's the thing. Blizzard's not stupid. They're not going to release like a new version of Warcraft RTS anytime soon. That might be a project like way down in the future. They're going to ride the StarCraft thing out as far as it'll go. Yeah. They're about making money, and they're making money right now off of StarCraft. And they see that the esports thing could eventually become something very profitable for them as well. So I think they're going to try and support that as well. And that's like the first time we've really had Blizzard lend any sort of support to esports. And I mean, yeah, they're not going to mess it up. I don't. They realize they've got something special.
I don't know. I think they would see just as much money in a new game because, I don't think we should be that confident in them not releasing a new game and messing it up. And I think that is a general problem with esports. Like, everyone
says, if they released a new version of Warcraft, that would be, like, mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how that company works, but I wouldn't have faith in them not to fuck it up on principle. And yeah. that is a general problem with esports. Everyone always says, you don't have a soccer 2, and you don't.
Yeah.
And that really kind of... That could be pretty problematic.
What do you guys think of, and this is long-term, think long-term, but, like, an independent group of developers, and I'm not the first one to suggest it, but, like, having, like, an actual independent game. It would be perfect if you could do it with StarCraft, license it from Blizzard, just have the people controlling the game are the esports community. I mean, doesn't that make the most sense?
Well,
money has to come from somewhere, and the reason people keep releasing new games is that's the way they make money, so it's not really practical.
Creating a game from scratch
a long time from now.
A huge endeavor.
Yeah.
It's not something that, like...
I'm in trouble over here. Yep. I need help.
You are?
I'm coming. You know, like, I'm all for that, man. That sounds like a great idea, but who's going to do it? You know, I could lend a hand, but I don't think anybody's really been willing or in a position to take on that kind of a responsibility.
Well, and the only times people have tried CS Pro Mod, they've utterly failed, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Absolutely.
Anyway, maybe...
Everybody was really jazzed about Pro Mod.
We'll bring back FPS, CJ, wait.
What's that?
Maybe Counter-Strike Global Offensive will bring back
FPS. I hope it's good, but, you know, actually, I wanted to say one other thing about the trends that you were mentioning. Oh, he's totally fucking...
He totally
messed up that fungal. It was awesome. You know, I think an interesting trend is going to be when companies figure out that all they have to do is actually copy StarCraft II.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or League of Legends. Like I think that it's only going to take a matter of time before someone figures that out, where they're just like, oh, I could just, you know.
I think that's a lot easier said than done for StarCraft, at least, because the big draw of StarCraft 1 is that they had three really distinct races that were still pretty balanced. And just, like,
you don't
no
think if you just applied the same philosophies, like, son of a bitch, that they could just do it?
I don't know, because Blizzard just seems to be struggling to do it, like, to replicate a lot of the things they had in StarCraft 1 with StarCraft 2. They've lost a lot of the aggression, a lot of the difficulty.
Okay, let me ask another question. Speaking of Legend of Legends compared to StarCraft 2, don't you think that most of the difference in why it's bigger can be, like, almost 100% attributed to the fact that it's free to play and so many more people play it?
It can 100, yeah. I mean,
StarCraft
that and
should do that. I mean, shouldn't they do that? Like, if it's such a
more casual game, like, it's a different kind of game. RTS, well,
but
it's not
but the thing is, though, is even a casual game can be played at, like, a very competitive level, though. Like, it has a pretty high skill, but it's just, it's StarCraft's on a whole different level. I agree. You can't really compare the skill ceilings of the two.
I think the kind of people who play StarCraft are more likely to be, like, dedicated into it, and less people are likely to just play it for the hell of it, just because it takes much longer to get to a point where you can actually enjoy the game. Like, you have to be more dedicated.
Oh my god. I just lost everything.
Yeah, we're
oh my god. Oh shit.
Like, literally every single unit.
Oh, I didn't realize. Well, the Protoss is pretty much dead. So,
I mean, yeah, let's just group up and try and do like a final.
Oh shit!
If we can get this
whole thing. Oh, man, you got. Oh,
I'm just gonna kill them all. I'm just gonna kill them all. This is where you just like fuck it. Fuck it all.
He's like.
Oh man. Uh-oh. Okay, that was not that last one. Kind of sucked, but.
Oh god. Okay. They're my natural.
Okay. Oh my god. Oh my god. I need. Oh, these Banes over here. Shit, I need them.
This
can you bring
it.
Them back?
This is all you wrote.
Oh my god! I fucking accidentally.
Final countdown.
Oh shit. Fungals, no! Oh, nice. That might have
been. Medivacs, my guys are all still healing.
Okay, okay.
I'm pretty sure I can win this out. All those Colossus, man.
Hit the Colossus!
Oh, from the back!
Colossus!
They're dead, they're dead. All the Infestors are dead. There's no other.
Are we gonna win this? If we win this, that's awesome.
They're done. They're done.
Are you done, son?
Darren's right. Much money down.
Anyway, DJ Wade, thanks a lot. I'm going to sign out.
All right, thank
have
you.
A good one.
All right, take care, man. All right.
I don't know. Let's take another call. What was the question exactly? I don't
know. He had a few different ones.
He did.
Yeah.
We talked with him for a while. We've got Tosog on the line. Hello, Tosog. What's that?
Tastes are bad. Stupid neckbeard. You're pretty.
All right. We got Wyatt on the line. Wyatt, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello. I'm asking, have you seen the new Plexus thread blog on Team Liquid?
The new what blog?
Plexus. You know Plexus on Team Liquid?
Which yeah, blog please. Is it? You're going to have to remind me.
It's called Stunted Growth of StarCraft 2.
Go ahead.
It's about how Korean players who don't have a large name have been going to foreign StarCraft 2 tournaments, such as IPL4 or Squirtle and Alive, where in the finals and they don't necessarily have a large fan base. They talked about how it could be potentially hurting esports.
I mean, I wouldn't say Squirtle and Alive were like no names going into it.
But their fan base is much smaller than like an MC or
yeah.
Or a Marine King or whatever.
But MC Marine King also have like a lot much. They have more character. Like they interact with their fans a lot. They do like little ceremonies and stuff. Like they actively work, I think, with their fan base and to grow their fan base. And like yes. Alive and Squirtle are both like really passive, like quiet guys. Like I've met both of them. They're not like.
Oh my god, fail.
Yeah, that's the problem with the tournaments. Like I feel they actually bring in just a ton of Koreans. Like most of them don't. Like fans don't actually know anything about them or like them all that much.
Yeah,
I agree. I think Western tournaments should definitely try and like tone it down a little bit. Like invite like the big like Korean superstars that everybody wants to see, but also give us a chance to promote our own like our own stars. You know what I'm saying? Let us grow our own community and get our community to a level where we can actually compete with their style of training and their pro houses and stuff like that. I think if we just invite like all the Koreans out to every tournament and they're just like 7 out of the top 10 are Koreans every time. Just
I don't think it's even a matter of letting the foreigners catch up at skill level. It's more that the tournament actually won't be that successful if they have that many Koreans. It's like the fan reaction on the last day of IPL after Stefano got knocked out, the crowd just wasn't nearly as into it as they are at like an MLG or if Stefano was still in the tournament. You know, most casual fans are much more likely to root for a foreign competitor than a Korean, especially a faceless Korean. Not an MC or a Marine King.
Yeah, and one example that Plexi used as to something that was good for the foreign scene was TSL3 with Thorzane, and how that really promoted like growing people for the foreigner scene and stars. And then he actually proved it again at DreamHack, obviously, for this last weekend. But it's kind of showing how there's like a juxtaposition between the Korean unknown players and the foreign players, and there needs to be more starlets out there, I guess. I thought that was interesting.
Any other comments on that? And Pain User, are you turning your cam back on? Right now, Calvin and Hobbs are making faces at me. Any final comments?
Is it back on?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, sir. No? All right. Wyatt, thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking it.
No problem. No problem. Had some pretty interesting calls tonight, actually. Let's take let's take this one. We've got David on the line. Hello, David. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Oh, hi, guys. Sorry, let me just shut down the stream here. This sort of ties into what you guys were just talking about with the last caller. But I don't know if you guys read Plexa's blog on Team Liquid. It's titled, like, The Stunted Growth of SC2.
Right, right. But, the last caller just talked about it.
Right. What I was wondering, and he sort of talked about how it's negatively affecting, like, the viewer's experience of certain tournaments. What do you guys think about how it poses a barrier to entry for newer players, like developing talent, trying to break into the scene?
I mean, like, I don't know. I think a lot of people are, like, reading into it way too much. Like,
yeah, like, does it if really, you, actually?
If you get good at StarCraft, and I mean really good, and you start beating people, people will notice. I don't care if you're the most antisocial person in the world, like, it doesn't matter. If you're super talented and skilled, you'll start beating people, and people will notice, and you'll work your way up. It's just...
It also makes the story... It makes the story much better when it happens, because the Koreans have this kind of aura about them. Like, they're not supposed to be beat, even by the top foreigners. So right. Then when you have someone like Scarlet come in as an absolute unknown and beat Bumblebee and almost beat Oz, or you have Illusion come and beat 3 Code S Koreans, you know, it's an absolutely gigantic thing, instead of just them running through a couple of big-name foreigners and then losing. So you still have those stories, and then they're much, much better for it.
Right.
Like, I mean, caller, do you really think it stunts the growth?
Well, I definitely sort of could see where Plexo was coming from with his point, because
sure.
As, like, a newer player who would
pain
potentially,
user, by the
like,
way,
enter
accept
into
the
a
invite.
Oh, sorry?
No, pain user, accept the invite. Oh, he doesn't have a headset on. That's why he's an idiot. Pain
like,
user,
has
accept
someone
the
who
invite.
Could potentially go to, like, an MLG and not, you know, dominate anything, but, you know, would want to see how far they could get. The thought of having it loaded with a bunch of Koreans makes it sort of like an unattractive prospect because, like, oh, shit, I'm going to hit a Korean in round one, right? And
I don't
I was just
think
wondering
that's
if
happening.
You guys feel like,
that, I mean, look at IPL. In fact, yes. I saw a ton of people for IPL that were like, dude, I cannot wait. I face sleep in round one, but god damn it, is it going to be awesome. Like, did you see those blogs?
Yeah.
They were on Team Liquid. I read, like, three guys' blogs where they're like, I'm going to IPL4, I'm going to play. If I can win my first round, I'm going to get my ass kicked by this player. Like, that actually, to me, is, or obviously even to these guys, was a motivator. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone mid to high tier is also... Like, there might be a small group of people who are like, well, I'm not going to go, you know, because of this. I don't, Greg, you look like you want to say something.
No, honestly, like, if you're at that level, if you're an emerging player who's just trying to test himself in the open bracket, you're not going to win the tournament. I don't think that's disillusioning anyone. So to say that the competition is now harder so you won't go, that doesn't really make much sense. Like, you wanted to test yourself against the middle tier instead of the best. I don't think anyone in that situation is really thinking that way. And the IPL4 open bracket was way bigger than the IPL3 one, so it didn't really seem to discourage them that much.
All right.
Any other questions, sir?
My next thing that I was going to toss out there is, do you guys think that there is the proper infrastructure in place in order to foster more North American talent? Because I feel like lately, the only big-name player or new big-name player we've heard of has been Scarlet. Whereas every now and then you hear of newer players coming out of Europe, but it doesn't happen in North America as much.
You know,
Illusion and State are coming up pretty well, too.
Yeah.
Illusion and State are super great.
They're both really great. I would like to suggest that, and Pain User can probably relate to me on this, there used to be CAL, the Cyber Athlete Professional, or, you know, Amateur League. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, CAL Invite, who would be basically imagine the top tier of players.
Yeah.
And then they had Cal Main. Pain User, are you going to play? Your SCVs are just sitting idle.
Dude, I was like, minimized.
Oh, well. and then you've got, say, the you've got a group of people who are obviously lower, right? I mean, obviously you've got, but they want something to be able to work towards, right? So I think what we're actually missing is one organization taking a step back from the highest tier and actually focusing on the tier right underneath it. Now,
like
it
an
may,
amateur league.
It, like an amateur, you know, like I would imagine that there are probably quite a few players in Grandmasters that aren't going to tournaments or in High Masters that aren't going to tournaments, right?
There are.
I mean, this is also like a Scarlet or someone like that. So I think that maybe that's the one way that this is not being fostered, is because no one is really, and I don't want to say no one, because there are some leagues out there that obviously offer this type of thing, but maybe it's not an NASL doing it, right? Like, does that make more sense? Like, maybe it needs to be an MLG, or it needs to be an NASL.
It's like Code A.
Exactly, dude.
You need. I mean, you just need a like a sub league that filters into the higher league.
Sure.
All.
Right.
Sure.
It's gonna be hard to get that to happen because all of the tournaments are so unstable right now. Even the big ones like MLG and IPL.
I agree.
And there's just not a return on profit there. So it's gonna be really hard to get that to happen. But it would definitely be a good thing if we could. If we could.
Yeah, I agree. It would be awesome.
I agree. Yeah. Any other questions to follow up with, caller?
No, that was it. Right. Thanks so much for taking my call, guys. I love you.
All
thanks
right.
So
thank
much.
You, man.
Take yeah. Thanks
care.
For calling.
Peace. Okay. We're going to take Bryce. Hello, Bryce. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Yo.
So my question starts with, like, so one of the bigger issues we have in StarCraft II right now is that there's not, like, one single organization that regulates everything and things
like
that.
Did you say
right?
that was a problem?
Well, kind of, but I was going to follow that up with that there's a lot more league collaboration between organizations like GSL and IPL and DreamHack and MLG. So I was wondering if I could get your guys' thoughts on where we are in that aspect, like in league collaboration, and if it's okay right now or if there needs to be more of it.
I actually think that there's more league collaboration than we've had in a long time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at DreamHack, look at
IPL, MLG.
Totally let me in, yeah. IPL, MLG, apparently, potentially OGN from Korea again. So yeah, I think that a lot of it's already happening, and it's kind of a question of, you know, how much more could happen. I mean, but I don't think we're lacking it by any means.
Right.
I don't know. Do you guys think we're lacking league collaboration? Like,
it's just like they're first starting to explore it right now, so I couldn't tell you if we're lacking it, because this is like the first league collaboration we've had, you know?
Right.
So they're starting to work together, so I guess we'll see how the partnerships go. And, I mean, obviously two big guns working together, two big tournament organizers working together is going to put on like a bigger overall event. So I think that's really what it is just they're trying to like bring it to the next level with bigger, better tournaments.
Yeah, we saw that at IPL, just like the improvements, the changes in their production, because they had the GSL crew there working with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's too early to tell how much it's really going to be beneficial. But we did have the MLG-GSL partnership through pretty much all of last year, and I don't think anyone can argue that upped the level of, like, the level of competition there, that we had way better players at MLGs than we would have otherwise, and that it was a way more entertaining show because they had GSL collaborating with them and sending players over.
Yeah. Oh, wait, don't shoot him yet, Edra. Okay, go. All right, awesome.
Do we want to kill the rocks up there?
Yeah, they're already halfway done, so we should definitely finish them off. I've got a bunch of Banes, so
all right.
I'm getting Bane speed and chisel.
Oh, they're still trying to break them.
Are they? All right.
Yeah. He's right there.
Awesome. Yeah, we should just totally push and break their rocks. I'll go in faster. Are we on another call? Do we need to... Oh, you're
nope.
just going to break
Not
our rocks. I see. Okay. All right, let's take another call. Okay. EMCL... Clamev, hello.
Hello, right, I have a question regarding the actual
game. Oh,
a lot of links.
Okay.
There you go. Because it seems to me like comparing it to Brood War, there are a lot of things in StarCraft 2 which make a huge difference in a small amount of time, like the Archon Toilet or like, I don't know, like Fungal seems really strong. My question would be if you think it would be better to have more things where you can gain a little bit advantage instead of like a huge one like it is with the Mothership.
You're saying are these things like a detriment to the...
You're talking
game?
About like the terrible, terrible damage abilities? Like, do you think they're problematic?
Yeah, because like you can play like a pretty good game, like getting small advantages left and right, and then in the end game, like just for example in PvC, like you're getting all these small advantages, like you're outplaying the guy, like just a little bit, but then in the end game you have like one misclick and like a huge part of your broodlords are getting like are contoileted, and then you lose the game because of that one mistake. And I feel like there's more in StarCraft 2 of that than it wasn't Brood War. Do you?
I totally agree, but it's just the way the game is.
Oh, here they come! Here they come!
Like battles just happen a lot faster, and
in principle,
they're not drawn out.
Super powerful things are good because
oh god,
they create excitement and stuff. But there's just it's way too easy to do.
So are you guys seeing all these siege tanks?
Yeah, I just saw it.
What are we going to do about this?
Hold on, engage.
A lot of shit.
Let me try to get my banelings out. Go! I need help.
I'm going to try and drop on the tanks from behind.
Okay.
Coming in right now. Nice, pulling the SCVs.
Oh, Infestors just came out, shit.
Oh, God, they have more tanks in the back.
Oh, you got that shit, man.
Yeah, I think we do.
Sick pain, nice. Sweet.
Thank you.
Okay, all we're right. done.
All right.
Well done, guys.
I thought I was rallying all my guys to... Maybe we're going to the wrong spot.
So what were you saying?
Where were we at again? After that intense shit just went on?
Yes.
What I was asking is if there should be more stuff in StarCraft 2, like especially with Heart of the Swarm coming, where you can gain little advantages one at a time.
Yeah.
And it's not so much...
Well, I mean, don't you think they're already doing that with like the removal of...
blue flame damage... Three hitting instead of two hitting. Things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
The changes for sure. Like, blue flame hellions were just retarded. The ability to entirely wipe out a mineral line just with, like, an off-chance drop.
How does he see this shit?
It's too chancy. I think that they kind of know that, but I think in the future, like, they should definitely implement changes that, like the blue flame damage reduction, when there's abilities that are just so ridiculous. They reduced fungal as well, so they kind of dealt with it there, but... I don't know. Maybe you're talking about like a permanent altercation, like change the abilities entirely, like rework them.
I mean, the mothership's gone, right? So like that's one that's kind
it will
of
be, yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't have a problem with super powerful abilities. Like if you look at Darp Swarm and Plague and Irradiate and the EMP and everything in StarCraft 1, they're all like super overpowered. But the thing is, they were difficult enough to use that it was like you deserved the effect of them if you managed to pull it off well. And that's what made it such a good game and such an exciting game. But here in Brood War, like, Vortex would be okay if it was really hard to get off an amazing Vortex. But instead, it's just point and click, and it's really easy to do. So it seems like a bad mechanic because of that, not because it is just a bad mechanic in general. So they need to make it harder to do, not less powerful. Less powerful is boring.
Okay.
I like that approach. Just make it more skill-based.
Yeah.
For sure, like... Maybe incorporate, like, I don't know, I think it would be really interesting to incorporate, like, maybe a League of Legends style, like, skill shot ability to units in StarCraft. Like, that would be really cool. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, Greg, but they have abilities in League of Legends and other MOBA games where, like, you select the ability to cast the spell, and then it has, like, a particular aiming skill ability that's, like, unique to that spell. So there'll be, like, a ring around your character, and you have to aim an arrow and then, like, judge the distance and fire it. I think if they made some of the abilities, like, skill-oriented instead of just, like, point-and-click, that would be really cool. But who knows?
Yeah. I don't know, that sounds interesting. I'd have to see how it works, but it sounds very artificial. Like, it
yeah,
sounds like
I don't know that I would necessarily like that. It's kind of weird.
But do you think, maybe, I don't know, like, I'm not such a good player, but don't you think that, like, especially the Vortex or something like that is more, like, game-deciding or whatever than, like,
Well, yeah, but it has to be, though, right? Because the mothership takes fucking God knows how long to build, and it's so expensive. It has to have something that's...
There's a balance issue, too, because, like, Broodlord Infestor is unbeatable if Vortex isn't that powerful. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, in general, should there be, like, one ability that can decide the game, like... even if you're like,
you mean just as a concept in and of itself?
One good swarm, even one good EMP. Like in Brood War, that could definitely happen. It was just much harder to pull off. Like,
so it's that's way harder to actually pull it off. Okay.
And I think to the point, like the super stuff, like the Archon toilet, like there's definitely times where I wish that just wasn't in the game. Like, I feel like it's just, it doesn't, you know, I understand why people do it, because it's literally playing to win, right? Like, that's the whole point of that concept is of that. But I think it'll sort itself out, too, more and more. I think StarCraft, or I think the one thing Blizzard knows is that they can't just go way overboard and expect people to take it seriously as a competitive game. You know, some people probably, when the Colossus was first announced, were like, what is this crap, you know? So some of it does have a place, definitely. Definitely. All right. Is your computer broken,
okay.
Mini? Thank you for your call, dude.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Hold on 1 second. Apparently, Mini's computer crashed. Minecraft serious business. Hold on 1 sec.
What happened to SCV football? Let's keep 3v3.
Yeah, let's do some
get
of that.
Get on that show.
I'm down. What's the map called?
It's like Star Strikers or something.
Star Strikers? That's fun.
The Star Strikers.
There you go, buddy. All right. My kid doesn't know how to use Task Manager quite yet, so take another call.
Let's play Star Strikers.
Yeah? You don't want to? Okay, let's do it. Hold on. Cancel that if I just pressed it. You ready to play Star Strikers?
Yep.
Versus whoever's in the channel inside the game on Battle.net. Three quickest guys. I'm going to go Star Strikers. Wait, is that what it's called?
The Star Strikers, I think.
Yeah, the Star Strikers.
Okay. Got it. Prometheus was in here first.
Oh, I joined just Star Strikers.
Join my party, or join the... There you go. You're getting it. While you're doing that, we'll take another call. Oh my gosh, so many. I can't even click them all. We're going to take Kevin's call. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Hold on, let me turn down the sound. Hey, all right, so this, I don't know, this might be a hard question for most of you guys because you're actually on, like, most of the shit that goes down in esports, but do you think that with all the things going down in the game that North America is kind of holding back esports in general?
Define things.
How?
Like how? All right, see, in North America, you can say we kind of have a level of neopositivism, like people getting jobs based off not having the qualifications but knowing the guy who knows the guy who knows the guy. Say example, like you run a tournament and then you hire like someone to talk about the, hey, this is the winner of the game, let's talk about what just happened. They know absolutely shit, nothing about the game.
Are there any people that have major organizations that don't know anything about the game, though?
I can't hear you, bro. What?
I said, are there any people in positions like that, like for a major organization that don't know anything about the game, though?
All right, I would name every girl that was in IPL, most of the people who cast for MLG. MLG in general,
yeah,
I
but
think
the girls,
just
you realize the
America.
Girls aren't there for their extensive StarCraft knowledge.
Some of them, like, she regularly hosts shows about that kind of shit, and, like, she's put a lot of work into getting where she is. So, it's not really, like, there's no one, there's people in those positions who aren't that good at what they do, like, casters and stuff, but who's actually better? There's not a whole lot of nepotism in esports, and people get called out really quickly. Like, our community is so bitchy about that kind of stuff that you don't really get away with it for public positions.
What do you mean people get so bitchy? Like, why can't you just hire someone better?
No,
I'm
saying, like,
that happens. Because
it happens, yeah. Like,
if they get someone that bad. Like, look at the shit that happened to HG, and he's been around forever and doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
What would you say about MLG in general, who just, like, all right, they hire a caster and they throw an 8-man tournament on the weekend and they get 4,000 viewers and they expect $10?
It was a fucking
gotta make a dollar. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't get the point in esports where we come to the point where we have to pay for everything.
Kevin,
like,
do you get upset that you have to pay $25 to watch UFC, Kevin?
Dude, like, straight up, though,
actually,
dude,
it's $50.
If that's what you want, though, this is never going to become anything.
Kevin, man.
It's been free our whole lives. All this content has been free our whole lives, and no one's tried to monetize it. And in order to monetize esports, you have to make money off.
If you're not willing to understand that, then just stop fucking calling my shows. Like, seriously, it's the same thing, like... it doesn't make any sense. It's like, I don't understand why these people at McDonald's aren't just working for free. I mean, don't you think they should just be making my hamburgers for free? I mean, it's like, it's the same shit. Like, if MLG wants to throw an 8-man tournament and charge a pay-per-view for it, the best way that you can tell them that you don't like it is quite simply just don't watch it. But I don't understand why you call into the show and then say, well, God, I don't understand this. Well, understand this. This whole world is about making a fucking dollar. Like, at what point are you going to grow up, Kevin? And are you going to realize that's how it goes? I mean, it's common sense, dude. Is
I
it not?
Hear you.
Is
I
it?
Hear you.
It's just common sense. And it's like, I just.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. We're jaded. Because I'm sure he grew up a gamer as well. I know I did. Everything's been free. We wanted to watch the Cal CS finals, all the Quake top level stuff. It's all free. And a lot of those companies failed and they didn't find a way to monetize it and make money off it. And now we don't have those services even for free anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, Kevin, fuck Kevin, God damn it, Kevin, come on. All right. We got Alan on the line and we're going to start this game.
Hello.
Hello, Alan. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. I was actually thinking about who you guys think is the best foreigner player at the moment.
It's Stefano.
I would say, yeah, Stefano or Thorzane.
Yeah, I was also saying Stefano because of even though his latest result hasn't been that good. But I can't see anyone better than him, actually.
I mean, I think that there's a really close list of people right behind him. You know, obviously, you could probably put Naniwa on that list. You could probably put Huck on that list. You know, guys that have mostly made some sort of a splash in Korea, et cetera. But right now, I'd probably agree with Idra on that.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking about Huck and to seeing Huck and Stefano playing. That would be pretty awesome. But, yeah.
Stefano's style is really good against his. It would be a good matchup for Stefano.
Yeah, I like his style, the way he plays. Actually, you should play like that, Itra.
It's gonna get figured out. It already kind of has. Like, the rush timing isn't going to work forever.
Yeah, but I think just his timing is superb, actually, when you're seeing
you're
his games.
Okay.
Oh, his timings are great, but the rush timing isn't.
I'm going Marauder. We need a Reaper.
I want Marine.
Okay.
You want me to grab the SCV, I can put up some pretty nasty shields.
Yeah, the SCV is good.
Yeah, right, SCV is super.
It's better to start with like 5 normal units and then switch to SCV once you get a lead, I think. Have one person get it.
Oh, hey. So you're just going all offense, and then if you need to swap.
Caller, who do you think the best? The best farmer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely Stefano. His gameplay is just amazing. I love his timings, and when I see Idra play, I really love your play, and I watch your stream a lot. But I just think you're playing a lot of standard play, and you never like improve your, or you improve, of course, but you don't mix up your game. And that's also what I can see in your tournaments and your recent achievements.
Stefano's like incredibly robotic. His DVP is he has 2 rules and that's all he does. Like, there's a reason standard is standard. It's the best way to play. It's just a matter of figuring out what should be standard.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's also hard to see as a spectator all the time, but yeah.
And then everybody also has a different concept of what standard is. Like, it's a personal style. So, like, I don't think two players ever really have, like, the same... They can have, like, the same approach, but, like, their execution will always be different. So, I don't think that... Like, you can certainly try and emulate someone's style. Like, he could try and emulate parts of Stefano's style that work with him. But to just, like, emulate someone's style because they're successful, is it's really hard to make that work.
You got it.
Nice.
Yeah, I agree on you on that, but I just... when you're playing, you're like doing the same thing over and over again, and you're not like setting up new timings or yeah. Oh, that's just how I see it, but I can be wrong, of course.
Cool. So you're saying like mix in stuff. I kind of agree. I think like throwing in all ins from time to time and like timing pushes is really important. It's something I don't do enough.
No, not like all in or something like that, but just you're trying to do like Stefano does with the against the Protoss when he does the timing with the roach circlings and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like Red in the old days when he was just like keep droning, and did the same thing over and over again.
And he's one of the most successful foreigners. Like, there's a reason standard is standard. It fucking works.
Yeah, yeah, standard. Standard is like, yeah, is like your general concept of like a relatively longer game that works and has like good progression throughout the game, and doing like a really aggressive timing push oftentimes doesn't really fit into like a standard game. It's something you have to have pre thought out. You want to hit a timing at a specific minute mark where you just like add a few production facilities and you have a lot more units than them at a specific time. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's good. I think a lot of players are starting to like mix up their styles more. You saw Thorzane at DreamHack. That's a prime example. Thorzane was like a super methodical Terran, and that was his style for a long time. And then we saw him at DreamHack. Just he had a lot of aggressive Terran strategies. He had a lot of really good timing pushes. Like he was just taking wins instead of just playing out the game as long as he could and just slowly constricting people for minerals. So.
Yeah, I saw that game. Also, really nice play by Thorzane.
Mm-hmm. So I think like the good players are, the best players are figuring it out. It's just like a process.
Yeah, of course. But I'm just thinking about on how much time you put into it, and when I watch your stream on a daily basis, and it's just like yeah, you're doing the same thing, and you're not like. Trying any new thing, but I cannot know because you're probably also practicing a lot with your teammates at the EG house and stuff like that.
Yep. All right, thank you for your call, man. Appreciate it, Alan. All right. Next, leaking pear. All right, ladies.
It's also, it's also a lot harder, I feel, for Zerg to do like different shit. Like, you know, I don't know.
Oh no, there's a lot of different shit to do. It's just like, I already do it. I already do Baneling rush timings and stuff. He just didn't know what he was talking about. So it's really hard to talk to someone like that.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot more apparent with the other races, like with Terran, like Mech and Bio are so distinctly different styles that use completely different production facilities. And with Zerg, it's like transitions between unit types. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's just like another retarded fan.
It's more subtle when a Zerg is like doing stuff. Like
no, I've been doing like alternating between Ling Bane drops and Stefano's Rosh opening and all that. It's like as different as you can possibly get. Just like I hate talking to people like that because they don't know what they're talking about and they're just so absolutely sure of themselves that they're right and know more about the way I play the studio.
Every you're like, well, I'm playing on it, so I watch it too.
Oh, nice, nice deal. Okay. We got our next caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. I was just wondering how you fellas feel about the lack of kind of space control options in StarCraft 2. Like, in Brood War, you'd have spider mines, you'd have lurkers with Darkswarm at the top of the ramp, and tank versus tank was obviously very strong in Terran versus Terran. How do you feel that... Is it a result of the speed of the game and the amount of movement that you can do with each unit now? Does that restrict the ability of, say, things like that from being effective, or is it just that they're not in the game?
You still get some of it with siege tanks and the effectiveness of a lot of spells, like how strong Fungal and Storm are. It makes it very difficult to move until you have siege tanks or Colossus or something that can actually outrange the spells. Because if you move your pack of bio into a storm or whatever, you know, that's just as effective as running into a spider mine. So it still exists, you know, to a pretty good extent, actually.
Oh, God.
Dude, what the... Why isn't there offsides in that shit?
Shit. Like I was cherry-picking hard. Oh. No.
You should probably hang back a little, play more defensively.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for answering that. That's all I had to.
Thank you, sir. Have all a right, good one. All right. All right. I'm getting the next call. Leaking pair. San Hoon Park. Right. San Hoon Park. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. How are you? Get the next call. Leaking pair. San. Oh my god.
Good lord.
Oh my god. Okay, we're going to take Tim. Tim, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi there. Wheat.
Hello.
Sorry, I just had to mute the stream, guys. Yeah, I just got a quick question about... I feel like when I watch StarCraft 2 and a lot of esports, a lot of the content creators and the players all seem to be mid-20s to early 30s who have been doing this for a long time. And a lot of the people that they're marketing to are teens who are either new to esports or... Just, you know, young in general. I mean, I know when I was 16, I probably thought I knew how everything worked and how the world worked and how everything was supposed to be as well. But
right.
I just feel like maybe these are... That's some of the reason why it falls on deaf ears when you say to things like, don't call the sponsors right away when something bad happens. Call the teams. If you don't like the way a caster casts, say something to the caster instead of making a 10-page thread on Reddit about how you hate them and... Everything about that, it's just overly emotional things that I feel like are indicative of something a teenager would do as opposed to the content creators who are, like I said, mid-20s, early 30s.
I mean, so I just to make it clear, is that like an excuse for someone to be sort of...
Absolutely not, but I mean we were all kind of...
Because here's the deal, right? If you want to appreciate the transparency of it, then at least educate yourself.
Yep.
Right? I mean, is that fair to say? I think that's most what everyone asks for. Is not necessarily, you know, if you are going to be critical and you are going to be that guy and you're going to, that's fine. But at least be somewhat educated about it. Is Red about to score on his own thing because he doesn't know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of what we're saying also is just like, our personal style of dealing with that type of stuff. Like, just confront the issue, you know?
Oh.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and if that's their way of handling it, I think it's just a poor approach to handling any life situation. If you really, truly want them to change the caster or, like, get the caster to work on himself and, like, get better, then I don't think that, like, attacking them personally or anything like that is going to accomplish your objective in any way, shape, or... Or, like, trying to get them fired or starting a huge shitstorm. If you want to start, like, an honest, constructive criticism thread about it and still explain to them the things that you believe they're doing wrong, but just don't chastise them, then I think it'll work a lot better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
I mean, I feel like I would like to help individuals better understand it, and that's why we have some of these shows, you know, so that people will, you know, be able to understand. Because, right, I'm a huge
Dion,
guy.
Pass that shit, dude.
I'm a huge guy that's like I like us to know our history and to work off of it, you know, instead of repeating the same mistakes.
Nice pass. Oh, what a blink.
I just hope that people would understand that, like, I feel a lot of times people can answer some of these questions on their own, you know, like, or not make blind assumptions that end up making them sound really silly.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
That's nice. Kind of what I wish. Yeah. I don't know.
It is a fair point, though. We're dealing with a really young community on the internet. Like, there's going to be a lot of immaturity.
And I think that's exactly what I was kind of getting at. I think is the players or the fans do get older and become more accustomed and age with the game. They'll have less of the emotional jump to conclusions. Hate on a player, hate on a team, hate on whoever for doing a small thing wrong.
Let's actually use Kevin as an example, right? Because there's two ways, potentially, that you can actually call, oh, that was so horseshit. There are two ways that you could basically handle something like that. One is, I want to ask questions to gather more information, right? The other one is I'm going to act like I know what's going on, and then I'm going to be incredibly defensive with you about it. There's a right way and there's a wrong way there. And obviously, obviously Kevin chooses the wrong way. You know, like, you just have to have a little bit more common sense about it. Like, I'm happy to explain anything and everything to people if they call in. But it's when they sort of get defensive and
tell you your business.
Exactly.
Well, I would even love for someone to call in and fucking educate us on something, you know? Like, that'd be awesome.
And it's happened before. You know, it's happened before. So yeah.
Okay, I definitely should have walled there.
I absolutely agree with that.
For sure.
Yeah. Any other questions or
nope. That's great. Thank you guys very much. Big fan of all you guys. Watch all your shows.
Thanks man.
For your time.
Appreciate
it. Have a good night.
All right, take care, man. Bye.
Those all damn 16-year-olds ruining our community.
You know, I'm all for the 16-year-olds, but oh shit, sorry. But I am for the ones that are actually like wanting to learn and shit. Oh my god. Did he get it? Well, okay, I'm nice. Grabbing the next call.
Somebody clear it up here.
Oh, look at that pick. Look at that pick. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you oh, there it is. There it is. Boring. You idiot.
Shoot. Yeah. Oh. All right. We're
Jason's
take,
going for the gold right there. He's like, fuck passing.
We've
got this.
We've got area code 480 on the line. Hello,
hey, bro, you didn't let me finish my argument. What the hell? I was trying to say that, you know, MLG has their same level of quality all the damn time. Think about it. Look at MLG Arena. Look at the $10 you spent in the last two arenas.
Kevin?
And what quality have you gotten? Think about it.
Kevin?
You got the same dub, the same wub, and you got Don Ragu and MVP. I mean, MKP, the same shit. That's what I'm trying to say, bro.
Yeah, but you get four free events a year. This is more than four free events.
He's gone. Okay. I'm just... He did the exact same thing. He did the exact same fucking thing. So thank you for proving my point and giving me an example to work off of. Because there you just had it. Okay. So...
Got you.
Yeah. We will take... Actually, we're getting near the end. So let's go ahead and take Goatlust tonight. Hello, Goatlust. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, yeah, not a lot, mate. Your mic's sounding a bit weird.
It is? Sorry, it might be because we're playing.
Yeah, it must be. So, Anyhow, Greg, mate, yeah, it sounded like you'd read a few of those, what's it called, Song of Ice and Fire books. How many of them have you read, mate?
I've read all of them, but it was a while ago. I don't remember a lot of details.
So. Oh, shit, son! We needed that.
That was huge.
That was huge.
So, yeah, I've read all of them. I'm caught up on the series.
Oh, yeah.
The TV.
Yeah, so, so you read the that fifth one, whatever it was, came out last year?
Yeah, I thought it kind of sucked, actually. Like, I feel like you're losing control of all the storylines.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was, like, one of the worst books I've read. Like, it seems like he's really hit and miss.
Sorry, what?
It seems like he's really hit and miss. Like, I've got to say, the first and the third book were really good, but...
Yeah, the third was my favorite. Oh, that's the thing with the style he writes. It's, like, so dramatic, and there's so many things going on that if he does it all well, then it's amazing. But, like, it feels like there's just too much going on. And it almost seems rushed, even though it took, like, 10 years to come out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It was kind of like, not a whole lot of any
Gion, dude,
happening.
Pass the fucking ball, dude. He's that guy.
So, Anyhow, you were talking a bit about, like, StarCraft 2 from the design perspective, right? A little while ago.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, like, one of the things with the first-person shooter scene is that there's a whole bunch of games coming out all the time, right? And there's new ideas getting thrown around, but in the
RTS
scene...
They're all so bad, though. Just like,
oh my god.
It's always been a bit different. I mean, you've got Relic who were trying new things, but they weren't exactly going for anything competitive, and then you've got fucking EA doing all their Command and Conquer games, which were kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Like all of them. I mean, even the people who played them thought
that
was
user,
shit.
Hold on 1 second. Let's take this moment to look at this handsome winning team here in the middle. Good job. Good job. We done good. Fireworks are going off for us and shit, Goat Lust. Like, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, man, I'm watching it.
Amazing.
It's almost like I was there.
Oh, shit.
Real men drill day. Fuck a dog.
That's funny.
Look at that.
Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
So, yeah. With the FPS scene, I mean, there's all these different games, and there's at least some sort of competition for, like, what's going to be a competitive title, but I feel like in some ways it's really helped StarCraft, because not only is it, like, the best FPS to actually play as a casual, like, because all the other ones are shit, but, like, it's also the only FPS that's really tried to be competitive, and because of that, like, it's just the go-to game in its genre. There is, like, nothing else. But then again, like, do you feel like Blizzard would have tried harder with StarCraft 2? Do you think they would have got it a little bit
The other thing, and, you know, this is different when you're doing Call of Duty games, because when you're doing Call of Duty things, I think you're like, okay, what's going to sell another, like, 10 billion copies? Whereas, like, if you are going to take the approach in StarCraft 2 with the multiple expansions, you also have to consider that you cannot use all of your ideas up front. So I think that that's got to be somewhat of a daunting task in, like, being able to plan out exactly how that's going to work without completely breaking the game. Because what would be the worst thing that they could do is, like, Heart of Swarm comes out and it's completely, like, game broken because you can, you know, summon a super Nidus Worm that just eats buildings and everything dies. You know, so just something so game breaking that's literally like there's nothing that we can do about this anymore. So, you know, from the design standpoint, like, I really feel like, and this is where I was going to, Idris right, it would be hard to copy StarCraft 2, but there is like a fundamental design process I think you could copy. Like you said, Idra, three races. Like you could separate air and ground. And I think someone could cleverly, you know, create the same like harvesting system where you're building like workers, but maybe they're like different robots and they work off of one pet. You know, you basically copy everything there because it is the gameplay. I mean, I'm sure lore has something to do with it, right? But I mean, the gameplay, I think, has just as much. So I could be freaking out of my mind.
Yeah, I feel like none of these other RTSs have really gone ahead and just tried a two-resource system with fucking peons and, you know, units that can benefit from some micro, but not like to the fucking Warcraft 3 level. And it seems like that is just a recipe for a competitive game when you've got this tension between building more workers, managing workers, and production, and then you've got micro. And it just seems kind of like a no-brainer that's kind of shit works in an RTS game.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I think the economy aspect of StarCraft is like what makes it special. Like, they've been working on it for quite some time, and like they've been kind of growing it for a while, and now it's someone to a point where it's like definitely the system that works the best. For
someone
sure.
in chat said there are actually other amazing RTS games, just have no publicity. Company of Heroes, which is one that I actually love. Company of Heroes. The problem is that Company of Heroes could never be played at a pace in sort of an at that in which StarCraft is. You know, like like StarCraft has the. Has the ability to show you an early game, a mid game, and a late game, which I think is one of the fundamental things missing from every RTS. Most RTSs that come out is like there's a mid game, and that's it. You know, and I know the one guy is going to be like, actually, there is a soldier rush that you can do when you are of the German faction wheat and Company of Heroes, so you should be aware of that. That's soldier ATV rush. It's really good. So, yeah, so, I mean, that one is capture point based, not resource mining. It's got a lot of randomness to it as well. And that's why I think it comes down to that, like you said, two minerals or mineral gas. I don't know. Someone's going to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Relic, we're obviously going in a completely different direction. And, of course, that's fine, but when someone like EA goes and makes those Command & Conquer games, which are a lot more similar to StarCraft, but then, you know, they always arse it up somehow.
The Tiberian
system. Only one resource and all
whack.
That sort of shit.
Yeah, it is whack. It is whack.
I hate the idea of having, like, two harvesters that are so valuable.
Do you like the idea of killing one Tiberium, like, carrying truck, and suddenly your economy is, like, gone, suddenly?
You're stuck.
It's just, like, gone. It would be like if we all just had one drone, one probe, or one SCV. You'd, like, constantly have, like, 30 Marines around this one SCV. But I don't know. A little crazy, so. Goatlust.
Yeah.
Anything else before I let you go?
Well, I had another question, but it's kind of big, so I might save it for some other time. So, you guys have a good one then, eh?
All right, you too.
It was nice talking to you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
All right, catch you later.
All right, thank you, Goatlust.
Fuck a dog. Fuck a dog, dude.
Let's do our final wrap-ups. I know that Jeff is going to be so jealous that he didn't get to play with us tonight. By the way, guys, great job, especially on the Star Strikers, man. We almost lost it there. It was like Kevin came back in. We had that other distracting guy that said you need to be more diverse.
We had the fucking Geon guy on our team who would just get the ball and just run towards the goal. Like,
with a defiler.
Yeah, with the
abilities. No, like, just run at the goal. Yeah. Like, I was killing it.
Yeah, it was fun. So, all right, Pain User, final thoughts? Anything you'd like to say to the folks out there?
Just please follow me on Twitter @PainUser. Big shout out to my team, Check Six, and our sponsor, TTE Esports. And have a good day.
Awesome.
See you guys next week.
Greg?
Follow me on Twitter @Idrigit. Find all my other stuff through there. And then thank you to my team, Evil Geniuses, all great sponsors, Intel, SteelSeries, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. And thanks to all of them. And thank you to all our viewers and fans and everyone who watched this.
It was a little bit different tonight, but
indeed.
We didn't lose. And we came out on top. So good job, guys. That's important. We walk away tonight as winners and not losers. Jeff will be back next week. He's making his way all the way back from Sweden. Next week we'll be probably back to normal. But thanks for joining us. And let us know on Twitter if you enjoyed tonight's format. I would not expect us to do this every week by any means, so don't expect that. But I think that it might be a good way to kind of break things up a little bit and take phones all night and not be completely bored when someone just asks, IDRA questions all night or whatever, something like that. So, guys, thanks for joining us. I had a blast. I hope you guys did too. And we'll see you next time on another episode of Inside the Game. We're out of here. Peace. Coming up next, we've got Millennium versus Fnatic with Isaac and Machine. Coming up next here on OneMoreGame.tv.